Now, we're talking about the psychology of closing. The psychology of closing is very, very important for us to understand. Closing is the most painful part of the sales presentation. Closing is the part that we as salespeople hate the most. We become the most tense about it, the most reluctant, and it is also the part that the customer hates. As it gets closer and closer to the close, the person gets tenser and tenser. And our job as salespeople is to structure the sales presentation in such a way that we go to the close and we go smoothly through the close. It's almost like there's a bump at the end of the road, and we have the approach, and we have the presentation, and we have the part where we arouse desire, and then we have this bump where we have to get into action. And our job is to get the person over that bump as smoothly as possible, to make it as painless as possible. And I think the best example of what I mean is the story of the old fellow calls up his dentist, and he says, "Bill," he said, "I got this rotten tooth and it's got to come out, and I just wonder how much you charge me to pull a tooth." And he said, "Jack," he's known him for years and years, he says, "Well, Jack," he says, "charge $35 to pull a tooth." He said, "Well, geez," he says, "Bill, that's a lot of money. How long does it take?" He said, "Well, it takes about a minute." He said, "$35 for 1 minute?" He said, "Isn't that ridiculous?" He said, "That's absurd." He said, "Well, Jack," he said, "if it's the time that's bothering you," he said, "I can take as long as you like." You see, we have an obligation to our clients to go smoothly through the close so that it's as painless as possible, because whenever we reach the point where we're making a buying decision, we start to feel tense, we start to feel nervous, our solar plexus starts to tighten up, sometimes our heart rate goes up and our throat goes dry. And especially if it's a big decision, we become very, very uneasy, because often these decisions are irrevocable. We have this great fear of failure, and our job is to sweep the person through the close as rapidly as possible once their buying desire has been aroused, and get them past the close and into wrapping up the details of the purchase. So our job is to plan the close in advance. And it's very interesting. Some people say that what you should do is you should plan your close in detail and then build your sales presentation on top of it, instead of planning the sales presentation and putting the close on top of that. Plan exactly how you're going to close. And wherever you're in a sales presentation and it's obvious that the person's interest and desire has been aroused enough, then you swing into the close automatically, and you have a step-by-step, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps where you go straight through the close. You should know that so that you can do it in your sleep. All sales professionals have their closes planned word for word in advance. All amateurs, all people who spin their wheels in frustration year after year, just fly by the seat of their pants every single time it comes to the end of a conversation with their heart pounding and their heart in their throat and sweat on their forehead and hoping and praying with their fingers crossed under the desk that the person will take it. Major requirements for closing. You must be positive, enthusiastic, and eager to close the sale. The customer's requirements must be clear to you. You must know what it is that they want and need. The customer must understand what you're offering and must understand the value of what you're offering to them, which you found out from asking questions. The customer must believe you, and they must believe your company. They must trust you. There must be a degree of rapport and friendship. The customer must desire to enjoy the advantages of the offer. There's no point in trying to close the person. Have you ever been on a used car lot where you walk on and you look at the car and somebody comes up and says, "Why don't you buy it?" And you turn around and you say, "How can you make a living selling with as insulting a line as that?" You've looked at the car for 3 seconds and they come up and ask you to make an offer on it. Why don't you make an offer? You don't even want the car yet. The product must be suited to the customer. In order to avoid high-pressure selling, those 4 requirements are necessary. The prospect must want it, the prospect must need it, the prospect must be able to afford it, and the prospect must be able to use it. Very, very important, the only pressure that you use in a professional selling presentation is the pressure of the silence after the closing question. The president of this company was buying a $350,000 computer. Put everything on computerized operations. And the computer company had been in, done an analysis, checked it out in every detail. They had prepared a proposal. They'd come back. They had put together the whole sales package, and they were coming in for the close. And he wanted to see how this computer salesman was going to close a $350,000 sale. So they came in, and the president of the company had his controller and had his accountant waiting to go over the final details. The salesman came in with his engineer and his computer programmer, and they sat down, and they went through the proposal, explained how it would be installed, what would be involved, what the warranties would be, how much help they would give them, additional consulting, and right down to every single ingredient, and then the price, and then the total price, and the final contract. And he said, and if you will just authorize this right here, we'll get started on it right away. And he ticked it, put the pen on it, and pushed it across the desk. And the president of the insurance company said, I saw it coming. He said he was going to use the silent close on me. I knew exactly what he was doing, and I just smiled at him. And he knew exactly that I knew exactly that he knew that I knew what he was doing. And so he smiled back at me, and I smiled back at him, and he smiled back at me, and we sat there for 15 minutes. And I was going to see if he was going to crack. And for 15 minutes, we sat there smiling, and there wasn't a sound in the room. And finally, he said, I signed it, and we both laughed. The pressure of the silence after the closing question. Recognizing buying signals. Well, these are common buying signals. The customer will begin talking faster, or will brighten up, or will ask about price. Sometimes the customer asks about delivery. Sometimes the customer changes posture or begins calculating numbers. Sometimes the customer asks smokescreen objections. Any noticeable change in attitude, posture, voice, or behavior can indicate that a buying decision is near. When you sense that, when the person starts changing or fidgeting or calculating numbers, say, well, when would you like us to get started with this? Or would you like us to get going with this right away? Or how many would you like us to deliver? Or would you like us to deliver to your office or to your warehouse? Ask a closing question whenever you see the person beginning to change demeanor. Reasons why the close is difficult, we've talked about this before, but let's just review them quickly. First of all, the salesperson's natural fear of rejection. We're very, very uneasy about being rejected, so we're afraid to subject ourselves to a no. The solution to the fear of rejection is simply this. Do the thing you fear, and then the death of fear is certain. Keep confronting what you fear over and over again. Keep asking for the order over and over again until you get to the point where you don't have a nerve in your body when it comes to the close. This is very, very important. The fear of failure on the part of the customer, fear of purchasing the wrong article, fear of paying too much, fear of criticism for making a wrong choice. Do you know how many wives hold off making choices because they're afraid of what their husbands will say? How many husbands because of what their wives will say? How many business people because of what their partners will say? Remember, this fear of being criticized for making a wrong choice is a strong, strong subconscious fear that holds people back. Human inertia, laziness, is a real block to making a change. People are comfortable, they're in their comfort zone doing what they've been doing up to now. Sometimes you can have a cheaper product, a better product, a more attractive product, but it's just not enough, it seems, to get that person to change from their current supplier. And that means you're going to have to work on them, and you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to come back, and you're going to have to keep giving them more and more reasons. The reluctance to make a decision because the buying decision can be so emotional. We know that there's always stress at the point of a buying decision. Whenever we feel stress, whenever we feel it coming out of our comfort zone, we push away. And that's why you have to get past the close as quickly as possible, or often you'll be sunk. And remember, the way that you overcome these obstacles or these objections is to be very, very positive in yourself, very eager to close, very enthusiastic. 5 closing errors to avoid. Telling the prospect he's wrong, arguing, trying to win. Never, never argue with a prospect. Never tell them that they are wrong. Never tell them that their assessment of your product is wrong. There's an old saying that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So instead of saying, Mr. Prospect, you're wrong, say, well, Mr. Prospect, that's a very valid concern. And many of our other customers have had those concerns. And here's a couple of letters from people who had exactly these concerns. For instance, all the time, people are saying, your product is too highly priced. It's really too expensive for today's market. And you have sold them. Then get letters from these people that said, when we first saw this product, we felt that it was too highly priced for today's market. But then we went ahead and bought it, and this is what we found, and we're glad we did. In other words, get proof that can back it up. Get what is called third-party proof. So it isn't you saying that it's a good idea. It's somebody else who has been in the same position as the customer. Expressing your opinions to a prospect on subjects of a personal nature, religion, politics, labor unions, health, family, so on. Don't talk about personal subjects to prospects. Even if they want to talk about them, skirt them very, very carefully, because you can get embroiled in a discussion that will lead nowhere. Don't ever knock the competition. If your competition's name is brought up and they say, what do you think about ABC company that they deal with? You say, Mr. Prospect, ABC Company is an excellent company. They have excellent products. However, many of the people who are buying our products once used ABC's, and they switched to us, and would you like to know the reasons why? And then concentrate on selling the values and benefits of your product, but never knock your competition. And finally, the last two, assuming authority that you don't have. Don't ever make promises you can't keep, and don't ever engage in overselling or saying that the product can do something that it cannot do. We had a situation recently where an office equipment salesman lost a $6,000 sale for a very, very expensive automatic copier and printer because he said it would do something that it couldn't do. And he lost the sale, and his commission on that was probably $1,000. And he had oversold it. He hadn't bothered to check the specifications and find that it wouldn't do it. And as soon as I saw the machine, I said, it won't do what it's been bought to do. The guy said, oh, yes, it will. I said, no, it won't. I can just tell by looking at it. And as it turned out, it couldn't, and they lost the sale, and they lost an enormous amount of credibility. Okay, finally, the major obstacles to closing. Number one is negative expectations. Negative expectations are what we call prejudgment. The salesperson decides in advance that this person is not going to buy because this person is either negative, or this person looks shabby, or this person is not well-dressed, or the person's office is in a shambles, and so on. Negative prejudgment, deciding in advance that the person is not going to buy, completely takes all the enthusiasm out of you. It just sort of causes you to be dispirited, and you don't put your best into that sales presentation, and you don't sell. A very good friend of mine used to sell personnel services, and one day he went, and he was calling in a warehouse area, and he went into this warehouse, and there was one person with one desk in this great empty warehouse in the back. There were no offices, no partitions. It was obviously just been thrown together. There's only this one person. He called on the fellow anyway. He said, he's in the business personnel selection, and what they do is they find technical staff and personnel, engineers, technical people, draftsmen, as well as secretaries and accountants and bookkeepers for engineering companies or construction-oriented companies. The fellow said, well, we've got nothing going on now. I've just been sent out here to open this office, and we're trying to get some contracts, but we don't have any business at all. But he says, if you want to call back, you know, I'll be here. So he called back. He called back every month when he went through that area. He called back the same answer each time. He always treated the fellow extremely well. He gave them information. He called him up and kept in touch with him on the phone. One day he walked in. The guy said, I'm so glad you came in. He said, we just got a $10 million contract up in the north, and we're going to have to hire 70 staff, and we're going to have them all on board within 60 days. Can your company handle it? They made almost $200,000 in commissions in the next 60 days hiring highly pegged technical staff and filling them in, bringing them in from different parts of the country. And yet, the only reason that happened is because he kept treating that person like they could be or would be a valuable prospect. Very important. Lack of enthusiasm. Nothing will kill a sale faster than lack of enthusiasm. You must really, really want to close. If you don't want to close, if you don't want that sale, if you don't want that business, the customer isn't going to give it to you. You've got to be really keen and eager. Lack of sincerity. When the salesperson becomes more concerned with earning the commission than with benefiting the customer, their voice changes, their personality changes, they start to sound like a Cheshire cat looking at a canary or looking at a fish in a goldfish bowl, and the customer picks it up immediately. So it's very important that you think and keep your mind concentrated on what you can do for your customer. Number four is important, different wavelength. Very often we find that we get onto a different wavelength with our customers. We meet somebody that we just don't have anything in common with. For instance, a professional person may meet a blue-collar worker. A snappy person may meet a laid-back person. An analytical-type person may meet an emotional or relationships-oriented person. In each of these cases, we say hello, they say goodbye. We say up, they say down. We just don't seem to be getting anywhere. When that happens, accept it as a reality. Except that occasionally you're going to run into people that you don't hit it off with. It isn't that either one of you are better or worse, it just means that you're different. And instead of losing the customer for your company, have somebody else in your company call on them and see them whose personality is more compatible with them. It's very, very important. In many companies where we've introduced this, they have what is called tag team selling. No customer is allowed to be written off until they've spoken to at least two representatives from the company, just in case it's a personality clash, which is very common. And, of course, the last one is when perhaps the customer doesn't like the salesperson or the salesperson doesn't like the customer. Sometimes an older customer will not like a younger salesperson and vice versa. Sometimes a man won't like a woman or a woman won't like a man. Sometimes we don't like a person because of their accent or way of dressing or whatever it happens to be. If that happens, back off. because you can never sell to somebody you don't like. And nobody will ever buy from somebody they don't like. So if you see that situation happening, what we do is we say, Mr. Prospect, could you wait just a second? I want to get the real expert on this product to talk to you. He knows far more about it than I do. And excuse yourself politely and go and get somebody else who may be in better tune with this individual and introduce the two and excuse yourself and back off. And try to keep the business for your company rather than losing it because you're not getting along like $1 million. Moving along, I'm going to talk about closing on objections. Now, the basic rule of objections is that there are no sales without objections. That objections indicate interest, that objections are signposts that lead you on the way to closing the sale, that if you don't get objections, you're not going to get sales. There's two ways to respond to objections. The very best way is this, is take every objection and interpret it as a question. In other words, it's not a reason for not buying, it is a question requesting more information. If a person says, I can't afford it, turn it around and make it a question that says, please show me how I can afford this, or please show me that it is worth what you're asking for it so that I cannot afford not to take it. If a person says, I have to talk it over with someone else, what the person is saying is, please give me enough reasons so that I can go ahead and buy it without having to check and get somebody else's opinion. Whatever the objection is, throw out any objection that you can think of that you get with your product or service. An objection is not to be feared. An objection is to be welcomed because, as I say, objections are the stepping stones to sales success or the rungs on the ladder to sales success. In your business and in my business and in every business, we have what is called the law of six. And the law of six simply says that there are basically six objections to buying your product or service. Now, I don't know what your six are. I know what my six are. And I know what the six have been in any other product or service that I've sold, but every one of us has maybe hundreds of reasons or objections, but we only have basically six. And it is very important that we sit down and identify what are the six objections, and maybe less. For some, it's only one. For some, it's two. You know, for instance, diamonds. The only reason people don't buy diamonds is because they're too expensive. It's not because they're not beautiful. It's not because they're not valuable. They don't buy them because they're too expensive. So it may only be one reason. But basically, there's never more than six. And in order for us to sell effectively, we have to sit down and we have to think through what are our six objections. What are the six major objections to buying your product or service? And what is a logical answer to each of them? So that when the objection or a variation on the objection comes up, you deal with the objection and you are prepared. You don't wait till you get into a sales situation and try to make up some answer, which is what most people do, and throw it back out. Keys to handling objections. Determine whether or not it is a condition. Does everybody know what a condition is? A condition is a reason why the person cannot go ahead. You cannot sell running shoes to a person who just lost their legs in an accident. That's a very strong condition. You cannot sell business equipment to a person who has just gone bankrupt. You cannot sell clothing to a person who's just gone into receivership and has no money. In other words, a condition is a specific reason why the person absolutely cannot go ahead. Many people, when they voice an objection, think it's a condition. Your job is to find out whether or not it is a condition. The person says, I can't afford it. What does that mean? Does that mean that they don't have enough to buy it for cash this minute? Or that they don't have enough to make a minimum down payment? What does it mean? And when you say, well, how do you mean that exactly? When you say you can't afford it, what if we space the payments over 24 months? What if you could get it with 10% down? In other words, is it a real condition? Does the person have zero money and zero income? For instance, if a person is unemployed, there's no point in trying to sell them something that's going to be financed over 12 or 24 months because they can't get approval for the credit. Number two is hear the objection out. Hear it out completely. That's very, very important. And listen to it patiently. Don't interrupt even though you've heard it 1,000 times. Listen to it, as we said, pause before replying and then answer it carefully and reflectively. Number three is ask for elaboration. Rather than leaping in and assuming that you know what the objection is, say, how do you mean that exactly? Or even better, say, well, as I understand it, and then repeat the objection back to him in the form of a question. As I understand it, what you're asking is this. And then go ahead and state it as a question, and the person says, yes, that's what I'm asking, and then answer the question. Easier to answer a question than an objection. Another thing with regard to objections is compliment the person on the objection. I found all my life when a person says, well, geez, I can't take it for this reason or that, you say, Mr. Prospect, that's a very good question. and I'm glad you brought that up. Or that's a very important question. And we have to deal with that in a straightforward fashion. People like to be complimented on their objections. And if you treat their objections as important and as valid, just like when we have a concern, when we're upset about something, we don't want somebody to dismiss it and give us a glib answer. When we're upset about something, when we're concerned about something, and we express this to someone else, we want them to think about it and be concerned, if you like, and carefully consider what our situation is. Number five, use this feel, felt, found method. What this does is it expresses empathy, it acknowledges validity, and it answers the objection. I don't think we can afford something that expensive. Mr. Prospect, I understand exactly how you feel. Many of our happiest clients, or many of our clients, or many other people felt the same way. But this is what they found, that once they had it installed and started using it, the savings were far greater than they had expected and the cost was far less. Well, I don't think it'll get the mileage that you say it will. Well, Mr. Prospect, I understand how you feel. There's a lot of funny claims around about mileage. And others felt the same way because it sounds pretty exorbitant. But this is what they found, that the mileage that they got was actually in excess of the mileage that we advertise, or whatever it happens to be. Well, I don't believe you'll service it as fast as you say you will. Everybody offers great service, then there's no follow-up. Mr. Prospect, I understand how you feel. And others felt the same way because it's a major concern. In other words, acknowledging validity. But this is what they found. They found that if they called us anytime up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it got repaired within 2 hours. And if it wasn't repaired within 2 hours, we had somebody there the next day. And so on. And here's people that you can call and ask if you really want to know how we do it. But it's an easy way to answer almost any objection. Provide evidence or proof. Use letters, if you like. Use any kind of letters that you can to prove that what you say is true. Be agreeable. Never argue with a person. Never tell them that they're wrong. Confirm the answer's acceptance. Does that answer your question? Is that satisfactory, or does that make sense to you so far? Asking a person, does that make sense to you so far, or did I explain myself clearly, is a very, very good way of answering an objection. Remember, you're there to make a friend and to convince them that you're acting in his best interest. So be calm, be modest, be polite, and know your product inside and out. We say this over and over again. Here's some of the objections that we have. 9 common objections and how to deal with them. Number 1, unspoken objections. Let the customer talk more. When the customer isn't speaking, just sitting there listening to you or not paying attention, let them talk more. Remember, a person has to pay complete attention to you when they're talking to you or answering questions. Encourage expression. Focus on the customer's situation. Excuses. Sometimes people have excuses. Well, we're really busy right now, or I don't think we have enough time, or we're buying from somewhere else. These are just excuses. You say, well, that's a good point. Now, can I come back to that later? Or why should we change to you? That's just an excuse investment. Well, that's a very good point, and I think I can give you some reasons about that later. And just go on. Malicious objections. I hear your company's going bust anyway. Why should I buy from you? You say, well, Mr. Prospect, that's, I don't know where you heard that, but it's obviously not true, and just go on, or even just ignore it. Requests for information. Well, how does that work? Whenever a person requests information, welcome the objection, compliment them on it, thank them for it, and answer it completely. When people take show-off objections, they try to show you how much they know about your product or service. Oh, yes, well, what about the carbidingulator on the metrificator of the bifocal valve? And you say, geez, you know a lot about this. Always be impressed by how knowledgeable people are on your subject. Don't try to say, well, yes, but I know more than that. Take the low road. Be conciliatory. Be polite. If people can be made to feel important in a sales situation, they're much more likely to buy from us. Subjective objections. Sometimes people say, well, you look like you're doing pretty well. In other words, a subjective objection is aimed at you. Well, you've got a pretty sweet job, or you probably work pretty good hours. Whenever a person becomes subjective, it means that you're talking too much about yourself. You're talking too much about your company, you're talking too much about your life, and not enough about the customer. Objective objections. I don't think it'll do the job that we require. Good question, and prove and show through testimonials and other proof that it will. General sales resistance. It always occurs at the beginning of a presentation. Very important, and that's why we use the approach close. Mr. Prospect, I appreciate you giving me your time. I'm not going to try to sell you anything right now. I'd just like to show you some reasons why so many other people have bought this product, and let you judge for yourself. Okay? Okay, and then begin your presentation. And finally, the last-ditch objection. Sometimes people will say, well, how do I know I'm getting my money's worth? Or, are you sure this is the best deal I can get? You say, Mr. Prospect, it's absolutely the best. Now, would you like to take delivery this week or next? Would you like the blue model or the green model? Would you like it delivered here? Would you like it delivered to your home? And you just go on to wrap up the sale. Remember, there's always a last-ditch objection. There's always an objection that people throw up. It's almost called a smokescreen objection. It's sort of the last gasp objection. And don't take it too seriously. Sometimes you just smile and look them right in the eye and say, what mailing address should we put on this order? And start filling out the order. And they'll just tell you. The remaining objections close is called the just suppose close. The just suppose close is very powerful. It has two forms. And the form that I suggest that you use, actually used both. But one is the extended form, which we'll just talk about. The person is trying to make up their mind. You've made a good presentation. They obviously want it. They need it. They're interested in it. And they're saying, geez, I don't know if I should or not. And you say, Mr. Prospect, there seems to be some question in your mind that's causing you to hesitate about going ahead right now. Do you mind if I ask what it is? Is it the money? Just string those two questions together. Do you mind if I ask what it is? Is it the money? Then the person has to say, yes, it's the price, or no, it's something else. Then you say, well, Mr. Prospect, that's a very important point, whatever it is. And in addition to that, is there any other reason that's causing you to hesitate about going ahead right now? Remember what we said earlier, that there's a key issue or a key objection. It's the real reason why the person has not bought it up to now. And you have to find it. And the person is always going to be very reluctant to give it to you, because as soon as they give it to you and you demolish it, as I'm sure you will, they're out of objections and they have to go ahead with it. So sometimes they hold it inside. They don't want to tell you what it is. You say, well, and in addition to that, and in addition to that, you keep asking until they say, no, that's the last reason. The last reason they give you in answer to the question, and in addition to that, is the real objection. I'm just not sure about the service yet. Or I'm not sure that it will do the job that you say it will do, or whatever it happens to be. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's an important question, and I'm sure we have to answer that to your complete satisfaction. Tell me, what would it take to satisfy you on that question? What would it take to satisfy you? What would we have to do to put your mind at ease on that question? Almost invariably, the person will say, well, if you could just do this, or if I could just talk to someone else who's had the same situation or whatever, and you'll say, fine, but they give you the closing condition. You say, all right, what would it take to satisfy you? And then you go ahead, satisfy them on the closing condition, and they go ahead with the deal. The abbreviated form of the just suppose close is this. A person says, well, I don't know if we can get it into this budget period. Mr. Prospect, just suppose that that's not a problem. Is there any other reason that would cause you to hesitate about going ahead right now? And they have to say, well, no, that's the only reason, or there is another reason. Whenever you say, well, just suppose that's no problem. Just suppose we could deal with that to your satisfaction. Just suppose we could demonstrate that to you conclusively. Just suppose we could get the price down by another $100. Just suppose I could get approval for this request. Is there any other reason right now that's causing you to hesitate about going ahead? You'll find that if they say yes, or they agree to your just suppose close, what they've said is this is not a reason for not going ahead. If you say, just suppose we could deal with that, is there any other reason? Then they've agreed that that's really not a reason for not going ahead, and you gets you down to the real reason, if you like. All right, the sharp angle close, porcupine close. This is used to turn an objection into a reason for buying and is very effective when the customer has almost run out of reasons for resistance. The person says, I can't afford the monthly payments. Would you take it if we could spread the payments and get them down? Or your product won't perform to my specifications. If we can show you that it does, will you take it? In other words, you use the objection as a reason for buying. You close on the objection. Inexperienced salespeople always make the mistake of saying, okay, don't worry about that, I'll prove it to you. And then they go out and they get evidence to overcome the objection, and the person has another objection. Then they go out and get evidence to overcome the other objection, and the person has another one. So when they say, well, I don't know if we could afford the monthly payments, if we could spread the payments and get them down, would you take it right now? So they have to say yes, they would, or give you the real reason why they're objecting to going ahead. It costs too much. If we can get you pretty much the same thing for less, will you take it? Person has to say, well, if I can get pretty much the same, yes, I will. Or they have to say, I don't know if I want it, or I don't know if it'll do the job, and so on. The instant reverse close. Now, this is a very, very good close. And you can use it, and it's a lot of fun. You can use it on your children. You can use it on your spouses. You can use it on your clients, your customers, your prospects. I just spoke to a friend of mine who said he earned an additional $50,000 in the last 6 months using this close after learning it from me. It's very simple. Somebody says, any objection at all, especially a standard stock objection. We can't afford it. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's exactly why you should take it. What? And then you think of an answer, a logical answer, to fill up the silence. For a person says, well, it's too expensive, we can't afford it. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's exactly why you should take it. What? You say, Mr. Prospect, you want to get this for the lowest possible price, don't you? Yes. And you want to get the very best quality, don't you? Yes. And you're probably going to buy one of these someday, aren't you? Well, yes, probably someday. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's exactly why you should take it today at this price. Because you'll never get a better combination of product, quality, delivery, and price than right now. When would you like to take delivery? I was working with a cable TV company that was selling pay TV. And they went out and tripled their sales using this close. They would knock on the door. They'd say, are you interested in pay television? The person would say, no, I can't afford it. That's exactly why you should take it, Mr. Prospect, before the door would close. They'd go, what? Come back out to the door. Because the reason they haven't taken it up to now is because they're convinced they couldn't afford it. You say, Mr. Prospect, let me ask you a question. Are you ever going to have pay TV, movies, sports, theater, arts, children's programs, and so on in your home? Well, yeah, someday I will. And that's exactly why you should take it today, Mr. Prospect. Because of this special promotion, you can get it cheaper today than at any other time. No hookup fee, no connection fee, and you won't have to start paying until the first of next month. That's exactly why you should take it today. Sometimes you can use this instant reverse close for a person you call up and you say, I'd like to talk to you about such and such, or you ask a question about your product or service. The person says, I'm not interested. You say, Mr. Prospect, I didn't think you'd be interested. That's exactly why I'm calling you. Say, what? Say, Mr. Prospect, almost everybody who is now using our product was initially not interested when we contacted them. And those people turned out to be the most satisfied with what our product or service does to you. And I'd like to get together with you for about 10 minutes to show you what we can do for you. When would be convenient? Sometime today or perhaps tomorrow morning. And just go straight into closing on the appointment. But very often, whenever you get hit by a question, a friend of mine used to do this when he was offering a seminar on wealth creation, and somebody in the audience would say, well, I'd like to attend it, but I can't afford it. He'd say, that's exactly why you should attend, sir. I said, what? He said, well, how long have you been working, sir? How do you mean? How long has it been since you left high school? He said, about 10 years. He said, this seminar costs $395, and you're telling me you've been out of school and you've been working for 10 years and you still can't afford $395. That's exactly why you should beg, borrow, or steal to come to this seminar to learn how to improve your financial condition so you never have to say that in a public audience again. Good close. It's a good close. It was worth $50,000 to him. He had people lining up on the basis of that. Remember, you don't have to have a great answer. The whole purpose of saying that's exactly why you should take it is to break preoccupation. Get the person to turn around completely, say, wait a minute, and think about what you're saying. The change places close is a very good close too. Especially if the person won't give you an answer, you've established a friendly rapport, and you finally say, look, Mr. Prospect, would you put yourself in my situation just for a moment? And imagine that you're talking to somebody that you really respect, and you've presented to them an excellent product or service, and they won't make a commitment one way or another, and they won't give you a reason why not. What would you do if you were in my shoes? Very often the person will say, well, I understand what you're saying. This is my concern. And they'll come out and they'll tell you the reason why they're sitting there or why they're pausing or why they're hesitating. And if they don't give you the answer, then you say, we're really talking about the money, aren't we? And then they'll have to say, yes, it's the money, which in most cases you can be pretty sure that people are concerned about the money. Or they'll have to say, no, it's not the money, it's this, and it gives you a chance to continue selling. In any case, you have to keep asking questions against objections, and you have to keep getting objections out in order to get the hidden reasons that lie behind buyer resistance.